everyone. We're thankful that you're here. Hope you had a good day, and the mothers among us, hope you had a good Mother's Day, and it's not over yet. So I hope you continue to have a good Mother's Day. Before I forgot this morning, so before I forget again, we, the DeRee family, want to invite everybody. So Saturday the 24th, we're doing a graduation party for Grace at the house, 2 to 4 p.m., just come and go. Just come by, say hi, grab a little snack or something, and then get out of there, all right? Hopefully there's enough people where it'll be crowded, you can't stick around. But everyone's invited, love to have you stop by, 2 to 4, Saturday the 24th. And it's already upon us, right? It happens so fast that you just can't believe it, and you remember when they're about that big, and all of a sudden they're graduating and having graduation parties. So you come and share that joy and sorrow with us. We'd love to have you. Now, you can probably figure out by the songs that Brother Jimmy led, the topic that we're going to be looking at. And this is one of those lessons I think is needed. And of course, it's beneficial to us. It's just one of those lessons that I think we need to have, you know, on a regular basis. And it's to stop and remember, be reminded of who our God is. You know, why we're doing what we do. Why we decide to give up an hour on a Sunday, rainy Sunday afternoon, right? We need to be reminded of who our God is. We need to be reminded how great and awesome and holy and righteous our God is. And when we approach our God in prayer and worship, we approach as those who are humble. We recognize that God is greater than we are. And so as often as we can, let's stop and think, be reminded of who our God is. And, you know, we need to be a people who lift up and praise and adore our Heavenly Father. In our scripture reading that we had just a moment ago, you know, the psalmist here, Psalm 67, 1 through 3, the psalmist here, he's saying, that God is so good, that he's so marvelous, that he blesses us so richly, that the only response that we could possibly have is to praise him, to honor him. Right? And maybe that's a part of your faith that you struggle with. Right? Maybe it's because you haven't been reminded lately, or you haven't stopped, and you know, maybe the craziness, busyness of life has distracted you from the truth. That our God is mighty and majestic. And so that's the purpose of this lesson here. We're going to go through some Bible passages and be reminded of who our God is, to reaffirm why we do it because of who we do it for. And the thing about it is, if we as his people don't praise him and adore him and lift him up, then the world won't, if we don't do it within the Lord's church. And so let all the people praise you, O God. That should remain our cry. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, when he was giving us the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, right? He begins with those words, our Father, right? And as Jesus begins with these words, right, he's establishing for us a model for our prayer. And as we begin our prayers, right, we normally begin with the same words, our Heavenly Father. And our Father, our Lord, our God. And because Jesus began his prayer in this way, we need to realize that when Jesus said these words, what he was doing was he was bringing to the people of his time a very rich history of praise and adoration. And behind that phrase, it's centuries of praise and adoration for the majesty of God. And so let's look at some passages here. Let's be reminded and focus in on who our Heavenly Father is. Right? Why is it you obeyed the gospel? Why have you been part of the Lord's church for however long you've been part of his church? You know, why do you do what you do? So let's think about that and be reminded, and I would say be humbled, right? And we're reminded as we praise our God that he's above all things. If you would, go to Job, the book of Job in chapter 10. Listen, God is above everything, everyone, everything that there can possibly be. God is far, far, far above that. He's far above the earth. He exists outside of our time and our nature and our science. Right? He is great and exalted above all things on the face of the earth. Now, in times past, like Job here, there are those who have questioned the type of existence that God has, and not in a bad way. And I really appreciate here what we have recorded for us in this event with Job, this conversation that he's having with God. And I want you to think about what we learned from this, right? So Job is learning, like we need to learn, that God is transcendent, right? And this is the one that's loved us first. So Job chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, Job is, he's grappling with God, if you will, and he's trying to understand the nature of God. This is a good thing, right? And he's doing this because of all the terrible things that have happened to him. Right, everything that he's going through, even though as we read he was a righteous man. Right, and as if you go back, remember all the folks here, they're saying things to him about his own relationship with God. And so here in chapter 10 especially, he begins to ask God, right? What kind of God are you? And Job asks these questions, right? Do you have eyes of flesh? Or are you like me, God? Do you have eyes like I do, God? Right? Do you see as a mortal sees, O God? Right? Are your days like that of a mortal man? Are they numbered? Are they very long? So he's asking these questions. What kind of God are you, God? Are your years, is your existence like ours? Now, I think Job knows the answers to these questions, that no, God doesn't literally see with eyes like a man and have days that are numbered like a mortal, like a man, right? This is an anthropomorphism, right? It's accommodative language. But no, God doesn't have years like a man, and because he's not limited by such things, right? The Bible speaks of God as being eternal, outside of time. Right, one who is immortal, no beginning and no end, and no, he's not bound by flesh like we are. Right, he's not like we are. Our God is he's a transcendent God. Right, he's above anything and everything that we could possibly even think of or imagine. Right, that's one of the reasons I believe God told mankind, originally children of Israel, don't make any carved images. Right, because you can't even begin to come close to making any sort of man-made representation of Yahweh, of our transcendent God. And the thing about it is, listen, he loved you first. In Isaiah chapter 55, would you read this with me? Isaiah is trying to establish for us here Just how exactly high and mighty our God is in verse 9. Right? And God's speaking through Isaiah. He's saying that, you know, basically he's saying this, if you were to look at verse 9. As much as you can think, as smart as you could possibly ever be, as wise as it's possible for a man to become, he's saying God's ways are much, much, much higher. No comparison whatsoever. And so God is, through Isaiah, showing us, right? Because our God is truly an awesome God. And you know, we live in such a contrite age where, and I'm guilty of this, where we have trivialized the word awesome, right? Oh, did you see that game last night? It was awesome. Oh, did you see that new car? Boy, it was awesome, right? And I get it when we say that. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but the word really means, when we read that word awesome in our Bible, that idea, it's something that's capable of bringing a sense of awe. And that's only God, or the things closely associated with God. Anything connected with God, like the sacrifice of Jesus, right? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Now that's awesome. And that's who our God is, and I think that's what we need to be reminded of on a regular basis. So when we pray, when we worship, right, we need to understand that we're doing so to a lifted up, exalted, transcendent Creator God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 15. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 15. Go back just a little bit. Verse 15 says, you know, Isaiah says, surely all the nations, they're like a drop in the bucket. Right? All of this nation, all of China, all of Russia, every nation in Europe and Africa, all over the world, listen, all that combined power and might, it's nothing. It's just a drop in the bucket compared to God. Right? Every one of them is like a drop in the bucket. Right, dust on a scale, Isaiah reminds us. You know, God weighs the islands as they were just but fine dust. Verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. You see, what God is trying to get us to see here is, compared to him, there is no comparison. Right, and so trying to get us if we want to weigh it out, right, to try to put some value to it. Right, you say, all right, you want to put some value to it, to compare it against me? You know, all the nations, the power, the might, and the wealth, all of it of the world, and you want to compare that to me? Not even a drop in a bucket. Yet he's the one that loves us first, and he's available to us. And so when we pray, when we worship, let's remember just how great and mighty our God is. You know, how could we ever even begin to pray as we should without recognizing that our God is worthy to be praised? In 1 Timothy, I love this passage. I love how Paul says it. In chapter 1, 1 Timothy, verse 17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Right? We see the exalted attributes of our God here. Right? Our King, eternal, immortal, everlasting, invisible, wise, worthy, honor and glory forever. Right? And it's because of these attributes that our God is forever an awesome God. Right? And because of these attributes, he alone is worthy to be praised. Back in Isaiah chapter 40, now in verse 28, look at this in verse 28. And this right here, by the way, is that doxology that Paul quotes at the end of Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. This is part of what he's quoting right here. Right before he tells us, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to live your life as a living sacrifice before God. And so right before that, he quotes this. He's saying, cast your vision to just who our God is. Before you make that decision, are you going to live your life as a living sacrifice? So have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And so as we worship and we pray, do we fully comprehend that, that we're doing so to our Creator God? Right? And ask yourself, where are the ends of the earth? Exactly. Right? We don't know. We can't even imagine how God has created such things. Right? Our finite minds can't even begin to wrap itself around the limited portion that we do see. Right? Even as technology and science improve, right, we're able to now see further into space. But listen, we haven't even begun to see the very edges of the beginning of the known universe. I saw an image the other day, and I thought it was pretty neat. It showed the Milky Way galaxy, right, our galaxy, and the image was about this big. And if you've heard of the Voyager spacecraft they sent out years ago, right, to explore the universe, our galaxy, and it travels about 30,000 miles an hour. And so it was showing a picture how far in our galaxy it would get in a million years, right? And so the image was like this. I wish I would have saved it like this. And in a million years, at 30,000 miles an hour, it showed about that far in our galaxy. That's just our, you know how many galaxies there are? Trillions upon trillions of galaxies. And that's just our galaxy, right? And God spoke that into existence. Yet he loved me first. And he wants to abide in me and me and him. Think about that. Right? The omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent creator. He wants a relationship with me. In 1 John chapter 4, right, so maybe have just that vision in your mind of just how great this universe is, how powerful our Creator is. And then he says this to us. In 1 John 4, beginning in verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And I think understanding that, then I go back to passages like Psalm 139 and verse 7. Right? Remember the psalmist asks of God, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Now, I don't think the psalmist here wanted to flee from the presence of God. He was simply just making a statement. You know, look how great and vast the universe is, and God controls it all. Right? It would be impossible to flee from his presence. You know, lesson that Jonah learned the hard way. Even if we wanted to flee from God, we couldn't do it, right? Because we serve a truly an awesome God. We need to remember that as we pray, as we worship, as we live our lives for him, living sacrifices out there, the remainder of today and tomorrow and the end of the week until next Sunday, right? Be reminded of this. Be reminded of who it is that we serve. And you know, we need to truly humble our hearts and our minds. And I love this statement here that Nehemiah makes in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Right? He says, you alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens. Right? The heavens and all of their hosts, and the earth and then all that is in it, and the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly hosts bow down before you. And that's a pretty amazing statement there at the end, right? Even those heavenly hosts bow down before God and praise him because he's so magnificent. He's even far above those heavenly hosts in heaven. Now, I hope you can see that. Just some images out there and in our universe that our limited technology has been able to see and capture these images here. You know, I know we live in a world that is pounding into us and our children, unfortunately, that we're just here by chance, right? Just random chance gathering of inorganic material got together, and then all of a sudden life began, right? when we see the evidence for creation, and the evidence, if you do not know, is overwhelming. We did a series on that maybe 2 years ago. Maybe it's time to do it again. The evidence that there has to be a creator. Evidence that there's no way this is by chance. Now, you can go on and argue who that creator is and what his word is, but the evidence is overwhelming that there's a creator. And we need to stop, and we need to remove those distractions from life, and I think that's a benefit. Go on, what's the last time you went out at night on a clear night and just looked up into the stars, right? And God is wanting us to be in awe of his creation and to be reminded that we're not here by chance. And the evidence is there if you're willing to look. And if in fact that evidence is true, then it demands a response to our Creator. And just go out there and be in awe. And remember, he's the one that saved you, that wants a relationship with you through Jesus, that he's given us the plan of salvation to abide in him so he can abide in us, right? Just really dwell on these things and contemplate our grand designer and his absolute majesty and power. Look to the highest of heavens and the starry host and remember that somewhere on the other side of that is our God, but also he's here and he's real and he's present with us. And just think about those heavenly hosts and how they're proclaiming before God day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they're casting their crowns before him, right? And that's the God that loves each and every one of us, knows us personally, right? He knows us better than we know ourselves, loves us more than we can comprehend. In Psalm 100 and verse 3, it says, "Know the Lord, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And if that doesn't humble you, I don't know what will. Have you ever seen sheep? I've seen sheep, and I'm not impressed. And I'm humbled when I recognize that I am one of the Lord's sheep. Right? And I'm in his capable hands as a good shepherd. He's my great shepherd. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And as one of his sheep, I bow before his throne and recognize him as being an awesome God. Psalm 27, verses 7 and 8, "Hear, O God, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I shall seek.'" And these are words of a humble heart that is pleading with God. Right? And we need to ask ourselves and be honest, are we willing to seek the face of God? Right? When we're praying, when we worship, do we adore God? Do we praise him? Do we lift him up? Do we seek him? You see, here as we begin to wind down, I want you to think about just a couple more things here, and the lesson is yours. But when we pray, when we worship, when we treat it for what it is, right? Access, communication, coming before the presence of the Almighty Creator. When we understand that we have access to the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, right? The creator, sustainer of life. It should humble us, right? God our Father is to be greatly adored by his creation. It's my hope and my prayer that the Christians that assemble here at the Church of Christ in Fairview, that describes us, that we're a people that lift up his name, that we honor him in all things. And what you see there is an image. And every one of those lights is a galaxy. And what that represents, just that alone, would be about the size of my thumbnail if I was to hold it up into the sky. That's about what that would cover. Millions and millions of galaxies. Remember, one galaxy traveling at 30,000 miles an hour for a million years, if a galaxy is represented like that, you get about that far. It's just one of those. And God created that with just the word of his mouth, and yet he loves you. He wants to abide in you and you in him. And he's offering you that access, and the appropriate response has to be to praise and adore him for what he's done and what he allows. I want to close with a thought that sums up the message for our lesson here this evening. And it reads, prayer and worship is the highest order of business that we as humans can participate in. It is the most important thing that we can do. It is first before anything else. Why? Because it links a powerless human, that's you and I, with the creative force of God's sovereign power. For we serve a mighty God, and as we bow before our God, let us never forget to give him praise, glory, and honor forever. For our God is an awesome God. This evening, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, listen.